Thank you so much, Abby, for leading us in prayer. If you'd like to send your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the word's going to come up on the screen as well, but we are continuing our series this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13 on Sunday mornings, and we're doing so because I want to be a loving person, and I want you to be loving people, and I want St. Clement's to be known as a loving church. There's not much you can work on during a lockdown, but love is one of those things, and we need to work on it because it just doesn't come naturally to us. When I wake up in the morning and look in a mirror, I think about myself. My natural tendency is to think about me, not to think about other people. And that is true for you as well. And so we need to work at love, and all the more so during lockdown, because the problem with lockdown, the problem with the coronavirus and not being going out and seeing people is that it's so easy to be turned in on yourself, for your world to get smaller and to think more and more about yourself. And so we need to work at love. And over the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at why we need to be loving people, the necessity of love. We've seen that love is better than miracles and spiritual gifts from verses 1 and 2. Then we saw last week that love is more important and more significant than being good and being religious. In fact, you can be good and religious and not be loving at all. You see, if you don't have love, you are nothing. Like the remote control car that is missing batteries. Without love, you are going nowhere. Now, here in verses 4 to 7, Paul moves from the necessity of love, why we need to be loving people, to the characteristics of love. What is this love that Paul speaks of that's supposed to characterize our life? If we're loving people, what will our lives look like? What does it mean to be loving? Well, in verses 4 to 7, we have some of the most beautiful poetry that has ever been written. And in this poetry, we find a wonderful, a glorious description of love. Love is personified here. It's beautified. And I want you this morning to see the beauty of love, so that as you see it, you might be changed by it and become a loving person, a person characterized by love. I want you to see the beauty of love so that you might be beautiful. I want you to see the loveliness of love so that you might be lovely. There's four things I want us to see about love from these four verses. I want us to see, first of all, the essence of love. What is love? Then I want us to see the expression of love. How does love express itself? Then I want us to see the example of love. And then finally, the encouragement to love. So the essence of love, the expression of love, the example of love, and the encouragement to love. So first of all, the essence of love. What is the essence of love? What is it that makes love lovely? That makes it so beautiful? Well, it's this. True Christian love is other-centered. True Christian love is other-orientated. It's other-focused. Love is patient towards others. Love is kind towards others. Love thinks about the other and focuses on the other. You see, the opposite of one way we can look at love is by seeing the opposite. And the opposite of other-centered love is self-centered love, self-focused love, selfishness. You see, and the difference between other-centered love and selfish love is that when selfish love loves another person, it does for its own benefit. You love the other person because of what they give you or what they bring you. Whereas Christian love, true, real love, loves the other for who they are. I have a problem with greetings cards that you get from Morrison's and from the card shop. Because many greetings cards have inscriptions on that say things like this: I love you because you are kind. I love you because you are funny. I love you because you are attractive. I love you because you are smart. Now, first of all, you think, well, what about if they stop doing those things? But also, what is it you actually love? Is it the other person? Or do you like being made to laugh? Do you like it when people treat you nice? Do you like hanging around with smart and attractive people because it makes you feel better? You see, whenever you say, I love you because, you've got an issue. And the issue, the question is it that person that you love, or is it what they bring you that you love? Is your focus them, or actually is your focus yourself? You see, true Christian love, real love, says, I love you not because of what you bring you, but I love you because I love you. I love you for who you are. See, true Christian love doesn't treat people like tools for what they can bring you, but loves others for who they are in themselves. So what does that sort of love look like? How does that sort of love express itself? Well, that's the second thing I want us to see, the expression of love, because here in verses 4 to 7, love is described in very practical terms. And it does so Paul describes love in practical terms, not because love is in itself a behavior, but because love expresses itself in behavior. We know love because we see it in action. And so as we look at these 14 expressions of love, we need to remember that these actions flow out of a loving heart. It's not like, oh, I do these things and that makes me loving. No, no, no. It's that you are loving and therefore your love will express itself in doing these things. These things don't make you a loving person. They are what you do when you are. This list of expressions of love is divided into three groups. First of all, there are two positive expressions of love. Then you've got eight negative. And then you've got four at the end, which are comprehensive. First of all, the two positive expressions of love. Love is patient and love is kind. Now, those are two sides of the same coin. If someone wrongs you, love isn't merely patient, but is quick to pay the other person back in kindness. You know, when someone speaks badly about you behind your back, you don't just not slander them back, but you actually speak really kindly and well about them. That's what love does. Then we've got the eight negative expressions of love. Love does not envy. That is, love is not jealous about the gifts and abilities that other people have got. Often those of us who are not charismatic need to learn that. Then love does not boast. Love doesn't brag about its gifts and abilities. And those of us who are charismatic need to learn that. Love is not proud. It's not puffed up like a balloon with an overinflated view of its own identity and opinions. That's something that could be written, I think, on Facebook. Love is not rude. Love doesn't act improperly towards others. You know, they used to say that you could spot a gentleman not by the way that he speaks to a king, but by the way he speaks to his servants. You can speak to a king for self-interested reasons. Love is not self-seeking. That is, love doesn't seek what doesn't belong to it. In fact, love gives up what belongs to it for the sake of others. Love is not easily provoked. That is, love is not touchy. You know, like the person whose friends say, you can't say that to them because you'll hurt their feelings. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You know, if someone wrongs you, you don't keep a record of it, like a personal grievance file that you carry around in an imaginary Tesco shopping bag, ready to bring out and consult every time you feel hurt and slighted. You know, love doesn't do pity parties. You know what a pity party is? You know, someone slights you and you pick up the phone and you say to your friend, do you know what somebody said to me? Do you know what someone's done? Isn't that awful? Can you imagine somebody doing that to you? Oh yes, that's awful, is that? I can't imagine anybody acting as badly as that, especially not somebody as nice as you. Isn't it awful? Do you want to come over? Let's go for a walk. Join my pity party. Oh yes, I'd love to do that. I'd love to help you nurse your grievances. Love, don't do that. And love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. You know, love doesn't track down and point out what's wrong. It's not, love isn't the sin police. You know, the sin police, you know, they go around spotting anything which is slightly wrong, slightly false, No, Nino, Nino, Nino. We have a sin here. Let me tell everybody about it. Let's discuss it. This is awful. Love doesn't enjoy doing that. It doesn't enjoy discussions about what's wrong with a person or what's wrong with the church. It gladly rejoices about things that are good and right. Whenever love hears about something that's good and right happening, love wants to hear about it and rejoice in it. It doesn't want to hear about stuff that's sinful and wrong. Knows that those kind of things happen. That's not what makes it tick. And finally, four comprehensive characteristics here in verse 7. And they're all joined together by the word all. Love bears all things. That is, it covers all offenses and forgives everything. It believes all things. That's not to say it's gullible. Love isn't gullible. But it's generous. It's big-hearted. It's always wanting to think the best about somebody or about a situation. It assigns best motives to a person. It's not cynical. It's not suspicious. And love hopes all things. Love hopes for the best, even after multiple disappointments. Even by repeated personal mistreatment, it still hopes for the best. It's always ready to forgive. It's always ready to give a person a second chance. And love endures all things. Love never gives up on someone. It always stays in the game. You know, if you love somebody simply because of what they give you and what they bring you, then you'll drop them when they stop. But real other-centered love, because it loves the other person for who they are, not what they bring you, it never drops someone. It never says, I've had enough of you. It never says, go away. See, that's the expression of real Christian love. Don't you want to love people like that? Don't you want to be characterized by that sort of love? And isn't that the way you want to be treated yourself? You know, you don't want to be treated like a tool who's useful to other people. Don't you want to be loved, really and truly loved for who you are? Well, let me tell you this morning, you have been. This love has actually happened. Jesus Christ has loved you like that. And he's loved you like that. He's loved you not because of what you bring him or give him or have brought him and given him, but he's loved you for who you are. He is the example of love. You know, first of all, Jesus Christ set his love on you when you were his enemy. Not only when you didn't love him, but when you were a sinner, when you were his enemy, when you hated him. God shows his love for us in this, that while you were his enemy, while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. But second, Jesus is an example of this love because he loved you as himself. Jesus said the greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, he's done that for you. He regarded your concerns as his concerns. Your interests as his interests. You know, he took your sins and your sorrows and made them his very own. He took your guilt and made that his own so that you could be declared not guilty. He took your shame so that you could be shameless. And third, he gave himself up completely for your sake.
You know, Jesus Christ poured out his life completely for you. You know, he didn't make a few little efforts to love you. He didn't sacrifice a little bit to love you. You know, even though you're his enemy, even though you were a sinner, he gave up everything. He made a huge effort. He sacrificed all he had. You know, he gave up his position in heaven and came to earth. He gave up the comfort of being with God, the love of being with God, the glory of being with God. He came to this earth. He had nowhere to lay his head. He lived a life of poverty. And on the cross, he offered up himself as a sacrifice to God to satisfy God's justice. And he did that for you, that you might be forgiven, that you might be accepted, that you might be saved. And finally, he loved you without any expectation of payback. You know, as if you could pay him back. You know, there's nothing he needs from you. And there's nothing that you could give him to repay the kindness that he's shown to you. You know, he knew that you're a sinner who couldn't pay him back. And yet he went to the cross and died for you anyway. You know, and you accept his love without money and without price. You don't pay for it. You don't earn it. It's a free gift. That's what Jesus Christ has done for you. He's given up everything for you. And he had to do that. Otherwise, you and I would perish in hell forever. You know, if you see what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you see his example of love, then as you see that that is true for you, the Holy Spirit melts your heart. It changes your heart. It makes you want to be a loving person. It moves you to love others as you look at Jesus' example of love to you. Because you say, look, if Jesus loved me when I was his enemy, then I can love others even if they're my enemy. If Jesus Christ loved me as himself, I can love my neighbor as myself. If Jesus Christ gave up everything for me, then I can give up anything and everything for others. And if Jesus Christ gave up everything for me without any thought of being repaid, then I can give up what I have for others without any thought of being repaid as well. See, if you see his love for you, that will change your heart. That will make you a person of love. Because you will focus so much on his love for you that it will change your heart. It will melt your heart. It will mold your heart into a heart of love. And out of that heart of love will be expressions of love. You will be patient. You will be kind. You will not envy or boast or be proud or be rude or be self-seeking. You will not delight in unrighteousness. You'll rejoice in the truth. You won't have pity parties. You'll bear all things. You will believe all things. You will hope all things. You'll endure all things. You will do those things because they come from a heart that has been changed by Jesus Christ. As we finish this morning, let me encourage you to be a person of love. To be a person who expresses that love in their lives. First of all, don't you see that God has given you a great purpose for your life? The purpose for your life is not to live for yourself, what I can get out of life. God has set before you a great purpose, and that is to love others. To honor his name by doing so. Make it your aim today to love other people. Seek out people this week who you can love. Whether it's people that you live with, whether it's your neighbors down the road or people you work with, whether it's people further away. You know, some of you find it really hard to love those who are far away, those who are your neighbors, those who you can easily forget about. Some of you find it really hard to love those you live with. Whoever it is you find hard to love, seek them out, find them, love them. Be a person who loves others. And if you're a Christian, then not only should you love other people generally, but you should love other Christians specifically, because you are united with them in the same body. They're not just, other Christians are not just members of your family. They are, people here at St. Clement's are members of the same body that you're part of. Jesus Christ is the head, and you and I are members of that head. And so it's really inappropriate if, as a Christian, you're selfish and only concerned for your own interests and not concerned for the interests of others at church, not concerned for the other members of the body. You know, in an actual body, all the different parts of the body help each other. And so, if you fall and hurt your knee, your hand and your eye help your knee out. You know, if a part of your body is injured or in pain, other parts of the body come to their help. The same should be true in the church. The same should be true here at St. Clement's. If someone in church is ill or in pain, other members of the body should come to their help, bringing comfort, looking out for their good, looking out for their happiness. Let me ask you this morning, whose good and happiness are you looking out for? Who else in church are you seeking to do good to? Particularly look out for those who are isolated at a time like this. Particularly look out for those who are in pain or struggling. Love other Christians. Love other members of St. Clement's. But finally, remember this as you love others, that God will take care of you. You know, one of the reasons we don't love other people is because we say, well, if I give myself and love other people with no expectation of payback, if I love other people for who they are, not what they bring me, who's going to look after number one? Who's going to look after me? If I'm doing all the loving and all the caring, who's going to be loving and caring me? Don't you know that if you do what God says, if you look out for the interests of others, if you seek to care for others and love others, then God's going to care for you. God's going to look after your interests and your happiness and your good. He says, you go and do that for others. I've got your back. I'm doing that for you. You don't need to focus on yourself. You don't need to be caring for and loving number one, because that's my job. You know, he will see that you're provided for. That's it, that's his job. God is no man's debtor. And he's especially not going to be in debt to somebody who's doing what he wants, which is to love their neighbor as themselves. You know, if you're expressing God's love to others, he's going to make sure that you're loved and cared for by him. He will bless you. He will do you good. And he will do you good in this life. And he will reward you in the next. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter when Peter had a pity party? Peter said,
Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. Family to follow you, goods to follow you, jobs to follow you. We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus, what did he say? No one who loses family or possessions or goods. I will give you more than you can imagine of those things in this life. And in the life to come, eternal life. Follow me. If you follow Jesus in expressing love to others, in being a person characterized by love, he will love you and care for you. In fact, if you want to be a person who is looked after and cared for and happy, then be a person of love. Because as you do that to others, God will make sure he does that to you. If you want your own interests and happiness to be taken care of by God, then look out for the interests and happiness of other people. Don't be a selfish person. Be a person of love. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, this is such a beautiful description of love. And when we read it, we want to be like it. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit. Change us by your Spirit that we might be characterized by love. That we will be people who love others at first sight when we see them. That we will be people who aren't self-focused. But we'll be people who seek out the interests and happiness of others, knowing that you will do that for us. Help us to be these beautiful, lovely people. People characterized by love. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.